Okay, question three is, it's about entrepreneurship, and it can be very alien within large organizations. They wonder what the, you know, entrepreneurship is hard enough. Entrepreneurship, what the heck does that mean? What actions and specifics would you want to provide to educate and inform the seniors that are in that organization? And I put in here a throwaway line for a nod to a conference people, which is obviously go to certain conferences, but to gain agreement that it should be part of an overall strategy within innovation. That's one part of the question. And the second part of the question is, you know, the internal battle for resources creates sometimes turf wars. Middle management becomes obstinate because they want to hang on to what they've got. There's a, you know, they have a battle plan. What tips and tricks would you offer that's going to make them understand the value of the entrepreneur inside the organization for these different groups that sometimes block and resist? So it's a pretty big question, and we're running closer to an hour. So I don't know what we're going to do here, but over to you. What do you think?
So maybe I'm going to hijack your question just a little bit, because I felt like it is a very big question. I wanted to make sure I touched on some specific things an entrepreneur might be able to do. I sort of was resonating or riffing off the idea of sort of a battle plan. What sort of plan might you do to be able to succeed in a world that, say, you're not in Google, right? You have to somehow navigate these various parts of the organization. And I would say you have to do two things, at least, if you're an actual entrepreneur trying to get some large, bold, new idea off the ground. So one is, you have to work the organization. Two, you have to work your idea, right? So working the organization, if you exist in a world in which you're not Google and there aren't sponsors on every street corner, let's say, you got to go find an executive sponsor, right? You got to go find other teammates. You need to go find experts. You know, if you have an innovation program, obviously you should check in with that group and leverage it to the hilt. If you can, you need to find people willing to experiment or pilot with your ideas. So you need a jungle guide. You need to find people who can help you navigate the internal politics and dynamics inside your own organization. If you don't know how to do that, and depending on where you are, it may be very challenging. Other ways, it might be quite easy. But typically, it's difficult. As you described, resources are often really tight. So that also influences, you know, how you work your idea. So, you know, we've already talked once about, so if you think you've got something, one of the first things you can do is create a value proposition for that idea, mature it enough in your own head so that you think it's really worth pursuing. Talk to your colleagues, begin to sort of spiral your own way outward as you work your way to the more influential people in your organization. Build an elevator pitch so you can talk to people about it in a compelling quick way, because again, you're sort of unofficially building support for this inside your own organization. So there are three steps that you're largely following. One is sort of perfecting the idea, getting your arms around it, being able to decide whether, for yourself at least, is there enough value in this? Is it worth me championing this inside my own organization? And you got some choices early on. If you're really excited about it, then, and you want to stay in the organization, then you try and make a path to some sort of success. If you're not so excited about it, don't believe in it, well, you can give it up for adoption, see what your manager thinks about it, but not take it on, or you could just not do anything with it. The other thing is, you could leave the organization to find another one that would let you work on your idea, or start your own business. So you do have a series of choices. And when people get really inspired by an idea, they often make any of those four choices. And obviously, organizations shouldn't lose those people. People willing to step up and champion their ideas shouldn't be something that they want some of their best people walking out the door around. So hopefully there's a listening inside the organization. So one is perfecting, the other is pitching, and the last part is proving. And the proving part is really important in organizations where they don't have a history of entrepreneurship or allowing this kind of ideas to bubble up. Because to be able to make a business case and move yourself out of the opinion trap in which there are false positives, false negatives, and it's your thoughts against my thoughts. The minute I can start showing, well, four out of our five customers said they would buy this right now. Now we're in a very different conversation, right? Now, as you described earlier, we've elevated the discussion from my opinions to sort of how can we make these customers successful given that they want the things we have to offer. and coming up with experiments to sort of quickly in a lightweight way prove the fundamental assumptions that people are likely to be resistant about, or that you want to make sure actually are true, right? An idea is a whole series of sort of hypotheses that need to be tested from our perspective. Create prototypes so you can show them off to people, light little mock-ups to give them a feel of what the idea is, and then maybe later on actual working prototypes so people can give you real real insight into the possibilities that a solution like that could develop. I would say to people too around the working the organization side is one, I would go ask for input before I ask for resources. So if you're talking to a manager, a leader, somebody like that, get their thoughts about the idea. And then when you talk to them again, make sure you've woven in the feedback they gave you into your new pitch. All right, then it becomes our idea. And now you've got at least one person who's willing to collaborate. I would be really gracious too for the people you help, who help you along the way. Thank all of them. Passionate people who may or not have any technical expertise or direct influence on the team can lead you to surprising places. They have connections in the organization that would be very helpful. So building out that group. And I would listen and learn. All the feedback you get, right, are all insights into how you need to either navigate the organization or reframe your idea to be able to resonate with them. This is a way in which you sort of fail forward.
You've got a terrific list there. I'm going to come back with five or six scribbling on my piece of paper as you were talking, because, you know, I was thinking, yeah, these are good to reemphasize. I mean, you know, I think people forget this is a path. It's a journey. You know, yeah. I hate the word journey sometimes, but it is a pathway, and it's a jungle. And
yes.
You say, well, how do I take my machete and I chop through that jungle and try and get sort of help along the way? I think proof of concept, I like listening and influencing. And I think that is any person that wanted to do a job of change, you have to listen and you have to influence. And I think that's what an entrepreneur is. He is a change agent in many respects.
Yes.
You know, he's got to, as you say, not go in there and tell people his idea, but to seek out how they would see, and you rightly say, get their input, get their thinking, and it becomes then an identification grows because
They
put time and effort into it, they put skin in the game, etc. So it becomes, as you said, our idea. So the whole aligning, building support, I don't think necessarily has to come from structure. It doesn't have to come from edict. It comes from very much the type of person that's in the role or wants to see themselves in this role, because the fun of any job development for yourself isn't somebody on high telling you what to go do. It's actually looking at something and saying, how am I going to build this out? How am I going to, how am I going to change within myself? How am I going to experiment? And if it's in an organization that is looking for talent, then one of the greatest opportunities, one of the greatest roles to actually show off and showcase what he can potentially do. So
I love it.
I liked a lot of what you're saying here on tips and tricks, but it's also identification, as I said, and the whole influencing one that came through. Terrific.
I really like what you're saying. I think these sort of fundamental value creation skills are going to be a necessity for anybody to succeed in the workplace, because I think innovation will just keep growing and growing as a core necessity for an organization. And the most valuable people are the people who know how to create value. And so I think you're absolutely right.
And also, as you say, because people take flight if in the end they can't get what they want out of it. Now, it's a lot easier maybe in some places than in other places.
Right.
Some people, you know, they live, you know, there's one great big company in their town and they're rather stuck within that company and they don't really want to move because of whatever reasons.
No, you're right.
But it doesn't matter, because I think it's what's within yourself and what you want to actually prove. And I think that journey, that pathway, that sort of validation, I think all of the things that you've brought out in tips, tricks, understanding, and of course, it will reduce down turf wars. It will, you know, tend to reduce down this obstinacy that can take place. Okay, you'll have as many frustrating days as you will have illuminating days.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, I'm quite happy. I'll take the days when I can come out of there punching the air and being quite happy because I've got something. I've got to move forward on what I'm trying to do.
Right. Well, I also think the successes build on each other. So I don't need to sort of convince the whole organization that entrepreneurship is good. I need enough to be able to try a few projects and demonstrate its capabilities. And then the next people who come behind me will have a much easier way because look what Paul was able to do in just 8 months. He got our clients to do all this and launched a whole new service line that we're testing out now. I'm a big believer in the path of least resistance. Go to the places where people are either feeling the pain the most or you have an inspired leader. Go talk to them. They are ripe for change and enthusiastic about it. And if you can make things happen with them, you're off and running, and hopefully the rest of the organization will see.
Not only are they ripe for change, but they're desperate for other people who want to join in that particular change journey. So I think you're right. Now, we've got a couple of minutes before we do a wrap. Sure. One of two ways. I'm going back and I'm looking at the sort of context and the framing and saying, have we missed anything out? We've talked about, you know, I threw in the word whipping boy. I mean, we've turned it into being opportunity boy, the person that can turn around, obviously, and overcome lots of obstacles. So he can dampen down politics. Right. We've recognized that, you know, it is a scarce environment. And of course, how he gets interest, how he gets people to be aware. You came forward, and you clearly the value proposition pitch, your co-star is a very, very good way of bringing that forward. He can be a very good messenger of a harbinger of all things that could change, given time, given patience, and given obviously opportunity. Right. You know, yes, many people have been, but also very, very fearful sometimes of stepping into an innovation role because they feel that's derailing them, that's taking them off their track of going in the marketing department or in whatever else. Maybe we haven't touched on that as much, although at the end we were talking about it's within yourself, you grow, you know, you can challenge far more as an innovator in a company than sometimes you can as a product manager or sometimes as an R&D manager. Is there anything that you want to either add to this, or is there a couple of examples you want to say, hey, Paul, I haven't used this or I haven't talked
about this? Yeah. No, it's a good question. You know, there's one at least example that I've watched organizations do that's been very impactful that is not such a heavy lifting and a somewhat easy way to get yourself started. Well, I guess two ideas. How's that? So one is the notion of creating what I call an innovation catalyst network. So you get a group of people who are respected within the organization. You train them up on whatever your innovation skills are, right? Because almost every one of the organizations in the world now has some sort of continuous improvement process. They get that innovation can happen, that ideas can turn into things that add value, that reduce costs, that improve processes and product quality and safety and all of those things. So we're trying to just elevate that. So what if we had bigger ideas? So how would we manage those inside our organization? Well, people often don't have the skills for that. So anyway, say you've got 50 branches in your bank, right? But you've never asked anybody to think bigger about ideas, about things that really impact the customer. Well, so if you got at least one person from every one of those banks into a two-day boot camp, they could learn some fundamental innovation skills, and then they become your local champions for innovation inside that bank. And if somebody has an idea, but they're not exactly sure how to talk to the branch manager about it or how to build a business case, any of those things, they have a local expert, somebody they know, somebody can help them manage the jungle inside the enterprise. And it's a relatively sort of low cost way to invite everybody to participate, but you quickly build sort of an army of sort of entrepreneur supporters. And they also act as an early warning system, right? They can listen to why things aren't working, and they hear feedback from employees about where they're getting stuck, and the larger innovation function then can intervene if needed be, or leaders can intervene in some way. So I've seen that work very well. Does that make sense, the way I described it?
Yeah, because I think it's to some degree, it's a lost culture in many companies. We talk about network effect. Right.
Yeah.
What you've just described is, I think you can look back and you can turn around and sort of say, you could turn to so-and-so and say, hey, what do you think about so-and-so and so-and-so? They either said, I know somebody that's going to help you, or I've got an idea, or I went through a program. We miss sometimes those conversations, those opportunities to sort of, you know, tap into the people that are around us. So I think your catalytic effect, your what I would call it as my networking effect, I think to some degree it's a forgotten art at the levels that you've just illustrated. One hears about it on a much higher level, but most probably one doesn't apply it at that lower level as much as maybe we should.
Yeah, well, so having those local expert coaches to help get things off the ground and started and visible and let just people feel like, even if they let go of their idea, it was a positive experience they had working with a coach. So that's which leads me into the last thought I had, because you'd asked in the very beginning about 1 hour innovator.
Yep. Because
1 hour innovator is largely like having a digital coach, right? It's basically, you know, SaaS software that anybody inside your enterprise, if they have a big idea and they're wondering how to develop it, what are the steps they need, can log into 1 hour innovator. It takes you through these five steps. Of course, you got to build a value proposition, your elevator pitch, a proof of concept plan, funding proposal, and it has instructional videos and things like that. So you use it only when you're working on an idea. So it just, you know, everybody's invited to use it, but you only use it if you've got a big idea. And it becomes an easy way to sort of, it's template based. So you're sort of writing up your idea and watching videos, getting tips. Okay, now I've created a value proposition. Do I still believe my idea is good enough? What do I want to do next? These are the questions I need to answer. How do I create a pitch? And you work on your idea. So it acts as sort of having your sort of Jiminy Cricket, your personal instructor looking over your shoulder as you work through your idea. That was the point. I was getting to a place where I'm too expensive to train an entire enterprise, but some sort of e-learning kinds of tools can suddenly make it available, particularly when not everybody is going to be an entrepreneur, right? It's on day one, organizations don't open the floodgates and get 5,000 ideas. It just doesn't work like that. But for the people who have them, what a great gift that they have a launching pad for their own thinking and generative ideas.
I think we've covered off in this just over, coming up just past the hour.
Sounds great. We've
covered off a huge variety of thoughts and ideas and concepts, which people can spark and bounce off on there. They know where they can go to come to you, because that obviously will be made available.
Sure.
But, you know, we have been dealing with buy-in. It's a leadership buy-in, but it's an innovations buy-in. But of course it is, as you rightly said, you've got buy-in of the entrepreneur, you've got buy-in of the innovating and the team, and you've got the buy-in of the leadership or whatever. Everything is a buy-in. Everything needs to be bought in. And that, of course, is if you can make it, as you rightly said, and that's the big thing, is a takeaway for me is, of course, if you've got something that everybody talks the same and has a same frame, and then you say same frame, then you would, you know, you really have got an opportunity that you will advance, I think, significantly from an idea into a concept and out the door into something that's very valuable to your organization. Any last thought before we say au revoir? Well,
okay, so maybe my last thought is one of the things that, so if leaders in your organization can get that the world is changing, if they can put out the kind of strategic vision for where they want their innovation to go and the business to go, then entrepreneurs can play into that, right? It becomes an inspiration. You know, Steve Jobs and others have done a remarkable job sort of elevating people's line of sight about what the future holds, and getting them inspired to collaborate, to go help deliver it. And if you're helping your leaders deliver on their business strategy, you will stay relevant. Your ideas are much more likely to be accepted, which is why this whole leadership thing that you started with is so important. Leadership not only for the enterprise, right? Not difference between leaders and managers, right? Managing the current business versus leading towards some future possibility, but also for leadership for the entrepreneurs. It allows them to take responsibility for their ideas in a direction that they know is more likely to get support and funding and approval from.
I think interesting article I read the other day, it's we tag innovation on everything, but maybe what we should do now is just say, how are we going to develop innovation leadership?
Yeah.
Well, enough. It's around, but it's never been quantified. It's never been thought about as strongly as we should do. And within this conversation we've had today, we've really built out a lot of the possibilities of that. Look, Laszlo, I want to say thank you very much for what I thought was a great hour. It sort of seemed to pass by very fast.
It did.
I wish you good fortune, and we stay in touch.
Yeah. Well, the next time I'm in Switzerland, let's see if we can get together. I should be there 2018 in like February or something. A number of projects are coming together.
Come let me know, and we'll find an opportunity, I'm sure.
Sounds great, Paul.
Take care.
You too as well. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye-bye.